Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, a place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. Season 6, episode 107, a special Saturday morning episode. Dave, I'm coming to you live from a different place, but I am still in L.A. It's beautiful out here, and I think there are plenty of people who think it was beautiful for the Steelers last night.
Yeah, you know, as usual, especially on Twitter and in the comment sections on the site, a lot of split opinions. I think people finally have had enough time to digest the selection of Artie Burns in the first round, and you know we've had time. We even Keith Butler has came out and had some additional quotes on Artie Burns. We'll probably get to those in a little bit. But on day two, the Steelers, a little bit of a surprise again to me. Now, just because I consider it a surprise or didn't have a player ranked, you know, in a certain round, it really doesn't mean jack squat. But in round two, they selected Maryland defensive back Sean Davis. And the thing with him is he was a tough player. He's going to play safety for the Steelers. And what made him such a tough player to evaluate, David, is the fact that he actually played most of the season last year at Maryland at cornerback. The two seasons prior to that, of course, he played safety, and more people even, you know, him entering the league, even if he was going to be a safety, some people visualized him more as a free safety type than a strong safety type. But Carnell Lake said during his presser that wasn't going to be the case. They're going to initially get him going as a strong safety with eyes on eventually, you know, making him versatile enough to play free and strong. But let me tell you, this guy can hit. This guy can move. Fantastic. Some combine numbers better than most of the corners there that attended Indianapolis. And on top of that, versatile, as I said, he can play both safety and corner. So, yeah, I had like a third or fourth round grade on him, but you could definitely understand when you turn a tape on with this guy why they took him in the second round.
Man, you didn't waste any time. You got right to it. We hardly got to know each other. You just went. I mean, I didn't even get a hug.
I hear you. Quick and dirty, the way I like it, you know. But
a couple things. One is, first of all, you know, look, you and I get a lot of comments and engage with a lot of people on Twitter, and it's one of the things we like a lot. And we do this podcast because we like doing it. It's fun. And just like you, I got those comments because Davis was not a guy that a lot of people had heard about, and nobody saw him mocked in the second round. And so, Dave, I said on Twitter, and not at all joking, I said, you know, Colbert and Tomlin must be devastated in the draft and the pro football focus hates their draft. I think you and I, with the appropriate amount of respect, appreciate what the guys at Pro Football Focus do, because it's not all that different than what you do and to some degree what I do. They watch a lot of film on guys. They evaluate guys. They try to evaluate games. And they would be the first to tell you. They don't have all the answers. But they're going to give you an opinion. And then I said, you know, I don't know why anyone who's a Steeler fan, and I mean this very seriously, and we are, I think, fair to criticize and fair to compliment the Steelers coaching staff, because, again, this is what we do, and we like doing it. But you and I don't even – we're not even pretending to, you know, belong in the same room with Mike and Kevin, who do this for a living and have done it for a living all their lives. And I said, you know, I just don't get it, especially for Steeler fans who value Pro Football Focus's opinion over Steelers brass. I mean, yeah, the Steelers – Tomlin and Colbert might get this wrong. maybe none of these guys will be any good. But good God, to evaluate their draft, the Steelers' draft, and particularly the first two picks, because you didn't see it mocked somewhere else, is insane.
Yeah, I really couldn't put it better. And the thing is, I read Pro Football Focus. I have subscription. There's a lot.
As do I.
There is a lot of things they do that I like, and there are a lot of things they write that I agree with. There are a lot of things that they write that I don't agree with as well. Look, I mean, it's the same way with me, David, and you know, Alex, and all of our guys that evaluate players. We do the best with the tools that we have out there. Obviously, we don't have all 22 for college. I mean, you can get some of it, but it's just not widespread. You take what you can with the knowledge that you have of you know, what to look for in players, and then what a specific team's needs are, and then you try to. I mean, mock drafts are so popular, yet it's the most. What's the word?
Inane.
Yeah, and incorrect. You know, it's a useless process, especially for outsiders. I can understand why NFL teams might individually sit around and do something like that, but even so, people take such great offense, you know, in saying. So and so wrote this. So and so. Look, we recap all of it. That's what blogging is.
Right.
You know.
And you talk
on the radio. Your job is to speculate about what might happen, what has happened, and what maybe should have happened.
Exactly.
You know that's what you get paid the big bucks to do. You know, the thing with this is, and I always go back to this is, you know, read and listen to everything out there. But if you have time, it's your duty to go back and watch the tape. And I'm not just talking about, you know, highlights or something like that. I'm talking about trying to go into it without blinders on and watching three games of a player. And then draw your own conclusions. Like I said with Sean, I think I like Sean Davis, and I think it was evident before even the draft. I mean, they brought him in for a pre-draft visit. It's not hard to connect the dot from Sean Davis to the Steelers. The thing that you get into with the fan base, I think, is oh well, that's a reach. And yeah, I mean, we talked about Artie Burns and both of us really thinking that maybe it was a more of a need reach than anything. Well, Keith Butler comes out yesterday and says, you know, talks about how their draft board and all like that, and that Burns was one of the players, one of the cornerbacks they thought they might be able to get in the first round. He rattled off the five or six of them or whatever, and he's the one that fell to him. So just because we might have seen him as a second, you know, late second round guy, doesn't mean the Steelers did. And obviously with Davis, most of us had him as a late third, early fourth round guy. I mean, he's an athletic specimen, and he's got a P-Spark rating that's fantastic, and he killed it at the combine, and he's a heavy hitter. So it's understood. I'm not making excuses for what they did. Don't mind you. I mean, don't take it that way. But you can see why they did what they did, and we'll just have to wait and see how it translates onto the field.
Right. Exactly. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the draft. I know we're doing this. Saturday morning, and the draft's going to kick up again. So we won't give you a full 90 minutes today, Dave. But a bit fascinating. I mean, Cleveland was talked about. You know, getting 100 phone calls to move out of 32. They didn't, and so it left everybody on the board. And I don't Emmanuel Ogba. I don't profess to know a lot about him. I'm surprised if Cleveland got a lot of offers that they didn't move out of the board. We're only going to talk about a couple of the picks here, but I think the first five picks are really interesting. Did you like the pick for them there? I spent a lot of yesterday morning on Twitter defending what the Browns did, and I'll just say it one more time. Yeah, I understand. The tried and true method is to build through the draft. And the Browns had six of the next 69 picks. They get the top wide receiver in the draft. How anybody can criticize the Browns? I mean, people are like, well, they have to make good picks. Well, damn it, every team has to make good picks. Of course they have to make good picks. That's understood. It's a new regime. We'll see what they do. But they stockpiled picks. They move back in the draft. They got the best. People say, well, you need to take high-impact players. They got the number one receiver on their board, and by some accounts, the number one player on their board at 15. So everything the Browns did, you know, coming into day two seemed fantastic to me. And they have two number twos, which might be the two of the top 10 picks and maybe the top pick in the draft next year, so they can find their quarterback and their depth quarterbacks this year. And they have two number ones and two number twos next year. But it was a little bit of a surprise to me, Dave, that he was the first guy off the board yesterday. Do you have any thoughts on him?
Yeah, it surprised me. He was their guy right there at the top of the round. Now with that in mind, I had a kind of a late two, the early three on him, on Ogba. 6'4", 273 pounds. He had two back-to-back good seasons as far as production goes at Oklahoma State. You know, I mean, you get a guy that's a double-digit sack guy. I think it was something around 11 in 2014 and 13 or 14 in 2015. That's what they're looking for. Now, I kind of thought Dodd maybe might be a guy that they looked at there. I mean, you knew those two guys were probably going to come off somewhere in round two, and I like it. I like the pick. I didn't love it.
Okay, so Dodd goes to Tennessee, and then everybody in the world's jaw hit the floor when Dallas made the pick at three, and they took Jalen Smith. And I don't know that there was a pick that everybody in the world was happier to see made, because you get a guy who was a consensus top 10, maybe top 5, maybe number 1 pick. You know, he wasn't going one. He wasn't going in front of the quarterbacks. But so you get a guy that suffers a non-contact, just a terribly unfortunate injury in a bowl game that, you know, doesn't matter. But look, it's Notre Dame, Ohio State. These games matter to the people involved in the fan bases. And let's not dismiss the bowl game. But he gets a non-contact injury where it's severe. Now, the knee is checked out okay, and it's a nerve damage thing. And Sean Spence had this type of thing, and Sean Spence ended up playing again. But Dallas takes him at three. And, Dave, a couple things. One is what I want to ask your opinion on. None of us are – you know, obviously we're not the doctors, and we play them on the podcast and whatever. Was this a senseless pick at this high in the second round? Do you think Sean Spence got back to being the player he was, or and you know, you watched tape on him more than I did? Do you think there are Pittsburgh beat writers and one that said, like, you know, he was never the guy he was? I can't say that or not say that. I don't have an opinion if Sean Spence was ever the guy he was. Sean Spence is probably pretty close to the guy. He was the third round pick. Out of Miami, he's probably pretty close to the guy that we expected him to be. Maybe he would have blossomed more. But do you have any guess as to what percentage of the player he was in the NFL that he could have been if he hadn't had the knee injury?
Well, I remember, heck, I mean, how many years ago has it been now since John Spitz?
Five, right?
Since he was drafted. I remember getting hold of those clips, and I didn't know that much about him prior to that draft. You know, of course, we didn't have the amount of tape that we do now to look at, but I remember thinking, man, this guy looks like he was shot out of a cannon when, recognition-wise and being able to move specifically north and south. I don't – and maybe the speed of the game in college versus what the speed of the game is in the NFL has something to do with it. But once Sean Spence, you know, finally got back into action and on the field, I never found myself going,
not right.
Oh, man –
right.
I never found myself saying, there he goes being shot out of a cannon.
A play here, a play there over 2 years. You said, wow, really good play.
Right. I just don't remember myself thinking, boy, that's what I saw on that tape, you know, 5 years ago. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, so they take Dallas takes Jalen Smith, and great. You know, great, just great, and we'll see if it works out for the Cowboys. Hunter Henry, an obvious pick for San Diego. They don't resign Ladarius Green. We know Antonio Gates is on the kind of last leg, so they got their guy there. And then A++ times 100 on Jacksonville, because if you look at every mock you ever saw a week ago, Miles Jack is going fifth to Jacksonville. He goes 36th to Jacksonville. Oh, and by the way, they get Jalen Ramsey as well. I mean, and you throw Dante Fowler in there. So they're going to have three guys who are legit top five picks joining their defense this year. And yeah, you know, is it going to go smoothly for all three right off the jump? No, probably not. But man, I mean, they got to still be high fiving each other to be able to do what they did.
Well, I tell you, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they're able to manage. At least you limit your the second round, I guess, is what I'm trying to say, is the area that you would expect teams to maybe take a risk on a player, especially one coming off an injury. And here's the thing we forgot to mention about the Cowboys and Jalen Smith. Their orthopedic surgeon is the one that operated on him. So if anybody
– I did not know that.
Yeah, their team doctor is the one that did the work. So if anybody knows what's going on with Jalen Smith, it's the Dallas Cowboys. Now, you talk about the injury, that, you know, that's, of course, that perennial nerve. And boy, if you had asked, I know way more about perennial nerve injuries than I ever thought I would, you know, due to what happened to Sean Smith. And then, of course, researching that Pitt player. You remember that Pitt player several years ago that had that injury that that finally made it back to the field. I don't think he ever made it to the NFL. But, you know, he had the whole drop foot syndrome and all like that. It's quite a risk to take on Jalen Smith, because you almost are resigned to the fact that he's going to sit out 2016, and you hope to get him back on the field in 2017 and be in the player that you saw, you know, at Notre Dame. And here's the other thing, is his brother is on the Cowboys as well, too. So there are a lot of links, and it makes a lot of sense for Jalen Smith to be drafted by the Cowboys. Now, when it comes to Miles Jack, it'll be curious to see how they're able to manage that knee based on everything that's out there over the course of the next couple of years.
But it's important for people to understand, on day one of minicamp, he's going to be on the field. He's not hurt.
Right. Now, I think there's just a worry about the swelling, right?
Yeah.
Because of the cartilage and off the bone. And I'm in territory where I don't belong here. I'm speculating about anything other than groins is not my specialty. but in all seriousness, he's a fantastic player. Let me ask you this. If you got three solid seasons out of Miles Jack, and then he was never to play a down again, would it be worth it?
Sure. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I think
second round.
Too.
I mean, at five you say no, but at 36 you say yes. And I mean, I love the guy. I'm going to root for him. I'm going to root for Jacksonville this year. I'd love to see all these defensive players come together. I love what they did, and I was really happy to see both those guys go really high off the board in day two, because obviously, I think if Jalen Smith had gone in the fourth round, that wouldn't have surprised me. I mean, we saw the kid, you know, Marcus Lattimore from South Carolina went in the fourth round. Now, maybe a little bit different as a running back, but, you know, you never know the severity of the knee injury. I didn't know what you just told me about the doctors, and that's really good and really encouraging. So, okay, so that's where those guys are. Let me just pick a couple guys out. Dave, Noah Spence goes eight in round two to Tampa. You know, an interesting guy. By the way, who won? Who won, the clown horn or the ding?
Yeah, I think my clown horn is more disturbing to the listeners than your easy bake oven timer.
By the way, it was Mrs. What? Mrs. Fields? What was a? You ripped the line off, and I think it is the line of the year on the podcast. I mean, I thought I didn't do mine intentionally. The big tub of stew or whatever I said when I was talking about Terrence Knight, and I couldn't remember his nickname. But you said that's my Mrs. Paul's or Mrs.
No, Easy Bake Oven.
Yeah, but I thought it was somebody's. I mean, you just ripped it off, and I remember that. And I meant to text you. I meant to tweet this at you yesterday. I think that does go down as the line of the year of the podcast. Oh my! You said my pie. You said my
Mrs. Smith's or I don't remember.
Somebody needs to. When next time you hear it, can you please tweet us and tell exactly what Dave's line was of so and so. My pie is ready out of my Mrs. Baldy Easy Bake Oven. And it was just without missing a beat, and then on to Noah Spence you went, and I am awarding it line of the year so far.
Well, here's the thing. I can't remember what I said 5 minutes ago. Sometimes at 48 years old and all the drugs that I've put through my body through the years, I just the brain cells have gone. But kind of back to Noah Spence. This is a guy that you just turn loose and you say, go get the quarterback and if you can play the run on the way. I think you just turn him loose. I like Noah Spence. I think second round is again the place to take the risk with him, and based on his actions since all that junk happened at Ohio State, it's going to be. I think he has the potential to be a double digit sack guy in the NFL. Let me tell you. We spent a lot of time talking about Sterling Shepard, prior to the draft. What do you think about him landing with the Giants?
Yeah, the next pick. And so he went 40th, and I kudos. It's a guy we both love. I like the comparison to Randall Cobb. I think it's apt. He Reuben Randall left the Giants this year. Victor Cruz has been injured. You got OBJ on the other, on one side. But he, Cruz, and OBJ are going to give Manning a nice trio of receivers to throw to. You know, when you there's never a bad fit for a wide receiver. But for the Giants, I thought this was a really good pick.
Boy, that's going to be a nice tandem over there for some time now. I bet Giants fans, however, are kind of hoping they address that offensive line, give Eli, strengthen that protection over there. I suspect they'll do that in the final day of the draft here. Really nothing, I don't know about you, David, but nothing outside, really sticks out to me for the rest of the third round. Justin Simmons, a guy that we both like, did end up going.
The second round here. Awesome. Austin Johnson goes to Tennessee. Derrick Henry goes to Tennessee. That was a little bit interesting. I mean, Tennessee goes O-line, D-line, and running back when they have DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, and then McKenzie Alexander to the Vikings fell about to where I kind of maybe thought he might there. And we'll talk about we talked quite a bit already about Sean Davis, the Steelers pick.
How about Hackenberg to the Jets?
Yuck. I'm not getting it. I understand it, but I'm not getting it.
Well, it's as good a spot as he could go, right? I mean, that's a great, great team for him to go to. And in terms of, it's Geno Smith and Bryce Petty, and Hackenberg.
Boy, I just with his personality though, that New York media is going to eat him alive. I think, he's kind of a defensive guy. If from the interviews that I've seen of Hagen, now of course we're going to get a ton of email because we have a lot of Penn State fans who are big Hackenberg fans, but I don't see it
for him. I think he's in a good spot.
Yeah, it's a good fit as far as him having an opportunity goes. Most definitely, Cyrus Jones, boy, out of Alabama to the Patriots in the at the end of the second round.
I know you mentioned McKenzie Alexander. What do you think? I mean, he goes 54, and then Tyler Boyd. Now we're going to have to watch Tyler Boyd wearing a Bengal uniform.
Yeah, I thought that was a slight reach. I thought that was a settle for I mean, I think the Bengals were really hoping one of those wide receivers would have fell to them in the first round. And when that didn't happen, I think they were back there saying, we're going to have to take the best available on the board here when it comes time to our pick. And I think – and that's what it smells like. I like Tyler Boyd. Don't get me wrong. It's just, once again, I kind of viewed him as a – you know, kind of a full round later type of talent. So we'll see. He's definitely got experience playing at Heinz Field.
Okay, so
what do you, do you take a kicker in the second? I mean, Roberto Aguayo from Florida State, boy, a kicker in the second.
So the only guys who have gone are Sebo, and you know what? They got killed for taking him at 17, and I guess you have to say that's a good pick now. So he goes to the Raiders, to Janikowski. Jason Hansen, he went in the first two rounds. And then the kid from the Jets, Nugent. Those are the only three guys since I think, 90 who have gone in the first two rounds. And all of them have been successful. I of course, the answer is I wouldn't. And I wonder why Tampa decided they had to trade up in front of New England to make the trade. Apparently, maybe Buffalo was interested. I'm less dogmatic about this, Dave, than every beat writer in the world who's like, oh, my God, you can't ever draft a punter or a kicker. Would I have taken him in the second round? No, I would not have taken him in the second round. And did Tampa think he was not going to be there in the third or fourth round? But, you know, having a kicker who's really good doesn't suck.
Yeah, I guess.
I wouldn't have done it, but I'm with you. And I don't know why they felt like they had to trade there in front of New England. But having said that, I'm just not going to kill the pick because, you know, if I hear another coach say that special teams is a third of the game and then say you can never draft a punter or a kicker, well, shit. If you get a guy who's, you know, all world and who knows whether he will be, then it matters. And you can find guys off the street because the Steelers obviously did, but you can find guys who stink. And that's no good either.
Yeah, just ask the Steelers about what happened with Josh Scobie last year, right? I mean, cost them at least one game for sure. Circle, and maybe another one on there if you like as well, too, depending on how you feel some of those may have played out.
I want to ask you the question here. Now, let's do the same thing we were doing into the first round. Here we come, five picks away, four picks away, three picks away. What you're thinking, Andrew Billings and Von Bell, and who else?
Or Simmons.
Okay.
Yeah, I was that high on Simmons, who ended up not going until the last pick of the third round.
Now, right, and the Steelers passed on him twice, and I'm surprised. But let's talk about Billings, because obviously the fan base got jazzed about him because he was a potential first-round pick. Do we know is there an injury? Do we know anything more?
I think there's speculation, and that's all we have. I think we got a couple of bloggers really thinking that it's a knee injury of some sorts, and then you had one media member with the whole verified blue check mark said a source told her that there's nothing wrong with Andrew Billings' knee. So, I you know, we can sit here and speculate, but we don't know right now. I mean, he obviously was healthy enough to kill it at not only the combine but his pro day as well. So unless something happened, and this is a workout warrior too. This is a weight room freak. So unless something has happened between now and his pro day, I don't understand it. Maybe we'll get some clarity here after he finally does come off the board.
Okay, so Bell goes right after the Steelers. We go into the third round, so would it be fair to say, Dave, that both our opinions are we liked each pick more in terms of value? Backwards to forwards. We liked the third pick was the most value-oriented, best pick the Steelers made. The second round, maybe a little bit less, and then the first round, a little bit less than that.
Yeah, that's a perfect way to put it. Javon Hargrave is a guy that I think I even wrote this up in my mock draft. I mocked Hargrave to the Steelers in the second, but I think I put in there, I'm not so sure that he might not be a third round player. And that's where he went. And then, you know, John Mitchell even said during the post selection press conference that he went about where they thought he might go. And it's easy to say after that's exactly where
you took him.
Yeah, that's easy to say. Boy, how can we make some big money making some statements like that? But I get what he's saying, and I agree with what he said. But boy, this you want to talk about, and he is everything that Alex and I have written up and said about him. He is a kid that dominated the FCS. And if you're going to be an early round draft pick in the NFL coming out of FCS, you better dominate your competition. And he did just that. And, you know, we wrote forever about how the Steelers need a defensive tackle that can not only play the nose, but can also give you some sub package snaps to help get Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt some time off the field in throughout games in order to save them so they don't wear down. And we identified very few players, Billings, Hargrave, and a handful of others that actually fit that mold that can play the zero, the one, the three, be on the field also in nickel sub package situations as a pass rusher, and Hargrave was one of those guys, and John Mitchell verified that during his press conference. He says this is a guy that you can keep out there all three downs if you want to. He really looks forward to lining him up kind of as a three tech over the guard in nickel situations. He thinks guards are going to have their hands full with him. Now, he says obviously he's not a guy that you're going to kick out to a five tech or a four eye to line up over a tackle. But he thinks guards are going to have an issue with him. And I don't know about you, whenever John Mitchell starts talking, that guy makes you feel like you're ready to run through a wall. He did say, no, it wasn't all praise for Javon Hargrave. He did say that Hargrave is a player that needs to learn how to use his hands better. And, oh, boy, God forbid if that happens. Now, he's got kind of, you know, shorter arms, obviously. And that's a part of his game that he's going to have to get better with, using those arms and those hands of his. He's got the quickness off the ball. That's apparent on film. And here's the thing about quickness. You either have that or not in the FCS or in the FBS or whatever. I mean, quickness is something that translates on all film and to get off, and he's got that. And the only other thing that John Mitchell said is he needs to be more consistent when he runs chases after the football. And John Mitchell went on to say, I don't think I'm going to have any trouble teaching him how to use his hands. And he says, I've got Cameron Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, and Big Dan McCullers in that room right now. So I don't think getting Hargrave to run after the football is going to be an issue as well, too. So it's going to be interesting now with Hargrave. You know, of their three picks, David, so far, Hargrave actually has the best chance of seeing the football field.
For day one, the question I was going to ask you, when they introduced the defense at Heinz Field, and I can't remember, they home or away in week one, but their way in week two or three, he might be the starting nose tackle.
Well, John Mitchell made sure to say that he has some, you know, still has faith in Daniel McCullers. But, you know, keep in mind that these two are going to really be asked to play the same position and whatnot. And still a little bit curious as to why Dan McCullers never was used much of any in the sub packages last year. So that's a concern. Now, is Dan just going to be here's what I envision happening. I think they might roll Dan out there as a 3-4 base on first and 10s, you know, downs where they really think teams might run. And as the season progresses on, I think Hargrave can not only win that nose tackle job, but I think, I think he has a chance of seeing the field earlier than the other two draft picks do as a kind of nickel pass rusher. It's obviously going to depend on how quickly he picks up the defense as a whole, but it's hard not to get excited about the guy that put up these kind of numbers. What was it, 30 something sacks at the FCS level? And Mitchell made it a point to point out, I don't care where you get those, basically in so many words, I don't care where you get those kind of numbers at. Those are some big numbers, and you have to respect them. And it's an exciting player. He's an exciting player, that's for sure.
So let me circle back and just say a couple things about and this is going to be a comment on Artie Burns, is the Steelers, there were guys, and, I liked your mock, and I liked your thought process, and we go through this, and there were guys that universally Steeler fans saw mocked to the Steelers in Billings in the first round, and Simmons in the second or third round, and plenty of other players. The Steelers had a ton of opportunities to take either of those guys, and they didn't. And they took the guys that they liked better. So you can like to pick or not like to pick, but the Steelers took the guy that they wanted and that they evaluated to be their best guy. And so I can't tell you whether William Jackson was the guy they wanted and Artie Burns was next, but Artie Burns is the guy they took, and it's amazing because so many Steeler fans would have been like, if they took Billings there, everybody would be thrilled that they took Billings there. They passed on Billings, forever, and they had, they obviously could have taken him in the second round, and they didn't, go D-line until the third round, and they got a guy. So just the process, if you're evaluating the Steelers draft based on what guys mocked, then I'm going to mock you.
You need to base it on what you see on the tape.
I say, if you didn't watch the tape and you didn't try to make an evaluation, then just go with it. Just go with it, and we'll see how it plays out. I'm not going to tell you they're right, and I'm certainly not going to tell you they're wrong, but, this is what they do for a living, and they spend all their time doing it. And they watched the tape, and they went and met the guys, and they went high character on the first two guys for sure. And the way Kevin talked about Artie Burns and his family situation, his mom passing away, and, being a young man with a child, and the fact that he's involved in the child's life and he's trying to be a good father, that type of stuff. I mean, they value that stuff. And you tell me if you can point to one guy in any of the pre-draft coverage who brought that up, then I'll give you $1 million, because nobody did. Nobody knows about it. Nobody talks about it. The Steelers cared about it. We can debate whether that's important or not. That's a fine conversation to have. But just to rip the Steelers or to not be happy about the draft because pick your favorite guy, Pete Prisco didn't mock him to the Steelers, is ridiculous.
Yeah, and here's the thing. In this day and age that we live in with the YouTube and the draft breakdown website and everything like that, you don't need hours upon hours to watch tape. They have two or three games usually on each player that the clips each last, they're cut up so good that they last about 8 minutes. So you can learn a lot about one prospect in a half an hour by just watching them. So, that's a start. If you're grading each player because I had this grade on them, like we said, or Pro Football Focus or whoever your favorite evaluator is had this round on him and he went here, that you're doing it wrong. You need to just go watch and make your own decision, your own kind of unbiased decision based on what you already know or don't know about a player from there. Now, talking about Artie Burns, here's another thing that we wasn't focused on or you didn't hear enough leading up to the pre-draft process or through the pre-draft process. This is a kid that ran hurdles at Miami, right? So what is he doing when football season's out, David?
He is He's practicing his hurdles.
Right. And what does that mean?
That
he's
means
not
he's
doing
not practicing his corner technique. Open your hips, run with the guy, doing football activity.
While the rest of the team is doing what?
Football activity.
you passed.
Thank you, sir.
But okay, now would that make sense why we're talking about a player in Eli Apple and a player in Artie Burns who had the similar amount of playing time, maybe similar characteristics, but one being a lot rawer than the other? Would it make sense why most of us viewed one as a slam dunk first round pick and why we viewed one as a later second round guy?
I absolutely look. I mean, they're just when the other thing is, you know, all the mocks, Dave, that you know, and all the stuff that we watch, and we're doing all this evaluation. And the Steelers are talking to the guy. They're sitting, you know, they're having dinner with the guy. They're doing all these other things. And you can value on a scale of, you know, what matters. What's on the tape matters. And that's, I don't know, you can say it's 60, 70. If you say it's 95% of what matters in the draft, I won't tell you you're wrong. But there's other things that matter that virtually everybody else who's involved in this process has a zero evaluative basis to make a judgment. If you think, you know, his family life matters or you know, how he conducted himself at school or what kind of teammate he is, you know, you hear things. You like, so Connor Cook, maybe some people, he wasn't a captain as a senior at Michigan State. Okay, so somebody has an opinion about that, about Connor Cook. There are 500 guys. Tell me an opinion about how you have as a teammate on the other 499 guys. 490 of them, you have no idea. And we have no idea. And then tell me about their personal life and what's going on, how many kids they have, you know, whether their mother died during their college season. 490 of those, no idea. So while they, it's certainly not the most important thing, what's on tape is the most important thing, those are things that go into the process, and none of us have those answers.
True. but on top of it, it doesn't stop us from speculating,
right,
about it.
And there's nothing wrong with doing it the way.
And we try to get better every year. I mean, look, I'm as curious as the next. I'm more curious than the next person as to why, assuming it's not an injury, why Andrew Billings is still available. You know, as we begin the third round of the draft on this Saturday. So
I'm telling you, the Kevin Colbert memoir thing, I seriously hope you're taking notes when I ghostwrite it, because you're going to have to do some work to go back into the archives to get the first 14 years. But from here on, we're going to have all the notes and we're going to have all the right questions.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's the type of stuff that intrigues me, the stuff that goes on inside the draft room. But you know, look, the Steelers they never waste time turning in that draft card, and you know, I think they rank that board, and they pay a lot of more attention to need than what we're led to believe, obviously, for obvious reasons. But I love the Hargrave pick. I understand the first two. I'm a little bit cooler, you know, colder, of course, on Artie Burns. I warmed up, you know, I'm more warm to the selection of Davis because of his position flexibility. And one thing we forgot to mention is over 300 tackles for Sean Davis during his college career. And this guy can really tackle. And he missed his share of tackles as well, too. But obviously, if you're around the football that much, you're going to miss some tackles on top of it. And I think probably not one listener out there is probably not most excited about the Javon Hargrave selection. As we move forward into this final day, David, I think you could see the Steelers take a wide receiver at some point. I think you could see them take an inside linebacker at some point. What other direction? You know, possibly another defensive back, maybe another defensive end. Who knows if they'll go running back late in the later rounds. So it's going to be an interesting day. Three for sure, and you know, as always, they can follow all the coverage on Steelers Depot, and that goes along with tracking those undrafted free agents. That will start immediately as the draft ends. So we should have the list of 10, 11, 12, whatever the number ends up being, within about probably 2 or 3 hours after the draft concludes.
Yeah,
so,
and I just want to throw one thing in, Dave. It's kind of ironic that the Steelers draft board again this year. It's crazy lucky. Sarcasm. That the best kind of board just happened to be all three picks, positions of need. Just crazy how that worked out again.
Yeah, and three defensive players. And when did we say the last time that happened with the first three picks? So, I mean, they talked about how this was going to be a defensive draft, and it is. There's more defensive players on the way on this Saturday as well, too. So Art Rooney II said, fix the pass defense, and that's exactly what Kevin Colbert is definitely trying to do. And as always, folks, you can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, please do so. Go to PayPal. Go to SteelersDepot.com. Find that PayPal donate link at the top. Top right side of the page there. And David, I think we're probably both probably going to need Sunday off, so we'll be back to kind of maybe recap the whole draft on Monday. What do you think?
I think that's exactly right. Golson, Burns, Davis, your Steelers secondary is going to look different in 2016, and it's going to look very different in 2017. Hargrave up front, I think when the Steelers open in Washington, he might be your starting nose tackle. Dave, it's been two really good days and enjoyable podcasts. We will do it on Monday. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.